Hi, this is Eloy Ortiz Oakley, Chancellor of the California Community Colleges, and you're listening to another episode of the California Community Colleges Chancellor's Office Podcast. Today, I want to welcome the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Mr. Tony Thurman. Before being elected as the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Mr. Thurman served in the California Assembly, as well as being an elected official of the West Contra Costa Unified School District and a member of the Richmond City Council. Welcome, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tony Thurman.
Thank you, Chancellor. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. For our listeners, the Superintendent of Public Instruction represents the interests of California's K-12 school districts. Superintendent Thurman, can you give us a little background on exactly what the Superintendent of Public Instruction does?
Yeah, this is a great honor to serve in this position in support of 6 million students in our state.
Wow.
And so the superintendent works very closely with the governor and the legislature to get funding and resources to support our schools, and works very closely with the State Board of Education to establish guidelines for how to implement educational programs and policies that get established in the state.
That's a big job. So before you took office in January of 2019, I know that you had a very clear focus on closing the achievement gaps that exist in our K-12 schools, also making our schools safer, which we certainly, that's something on top of mind of everybody these days. Tell us a little bit about why those two things really matter to you.
You know, in many ways, the focus on closing the achievement gap stems from my own personal beliefs and values and my own personal experience. I really do believe that every California student can be successful. And despite what some have said to me about only working with kids who show promise and potential, I really think that it's our job to help all students really harness their potential and help to give them the support that they need to be successful. That's true for me in my personal experience. I'm the son of, you know, immigrants and the descendant of African slaves. When I think of my experience and where I could have ended up, I know but for education and great mentors and people in my faith community and others who've really supported me, I would not have had the opportunities to serve. So having come from being a kid on the free lunch program and on public assistance and trying to overcome the loss of my only parent at a very young age, education played a very important part for me in my life, and it opened doors for me. And teachers and educators really invested in me, and their message was, education is the key to taking you wherever you want to go. And I believe that to be true for what we do in K-12 education. I believe that's true for our community colleges and higher education systems. And I can't think of a better way to serve our communities by making sure that all of our students get a great education.
Well, I think you have a tremendous story, if I can say so. I think what you just mentioned, the challenges that you have personally faced, I know helps you connect with many of our students throughout our communities. And as you're well aware, some of our students face tremendous challenges, challenges in terms of poverty, in terms of the lack of resources that they have growing up. How does your personal experience help you connect to those communities? And how does it inform the way you're thinking about the work that you're going to do over the next 4 years?
Honestly, for me, Chancellor, my entire life and career has always been focused on how can I help young people in the same ways that I have been helped. And as you point out, many of our students are overcoming, you know, living in deep poverty. So many of our students have had experiences with homelessness, being in foster care, they've been hungry, they experience trauma. And I just think it's difficult to learn. It's not impossible to learn, but it's difficult to learn when you face these barriers. And I believe that we have to address some of the socioeconomic factors that impact our students and create as much support for them as we can. And so, and over the course of my career, before being in politics, I spent 20 years as a social worker working directly with students who were either in foster care or young people in the criminal justice system. And their stories have really informed my desire to make closing the achievement gap one of our top priorities. And I'm pleased to share that we're doing things that we know can make a difference. We are working to launch a pipeline program that will bring more male educators of color to our elementary school classrooms. The data shows, research shows, that when students see someone who look like them, it helps to improve their educational experience. And quite frankly, having a diverse workforce has benefits for students of all backgrounds. You know, I've made closing the achievement gap a priority. We listen to the experiences of students. It's guiding the work that we're doing at the California Department of Education. We have a long way to go, but I believe that we can make a better education experience for all 6 million of our students.
That's great to hear. And in particular, the equity agenda that you're talking about really resonates with us here in the California Community Colleges. A couple of years ago, our Board of Governors adopted the Vision for Success, and that vision really is anchored in equity. Equity is really driving our agenda in the California Community Colleges. And so things like increasing the number of students who earn a credential or increasing the number of students that transfer, and most importantly, closing the achievement gaps in the California Community Colleges. So as we think about how do we focus on equity in the state of California, how do we improve outcomes and opportunities for more Californians? Many of our community colleges are in the same communities as many of your more challenged K-12 districts. Certainly from here in Sacramento, Sacramento Unified and Sacramento City College really work very well together to the community I came from, where Long Beach Unified works very closely with Long Beach City College. How can we blur the lines more between the two systems and put a specific emphasis on this issue of equity?
You know, I think there's an incredible relationship that already exists between many of our K-12 districts and our community colleges. You know, I served on a school board where I believe the majority of our students who attend college started in a community college. Mm-hmm. And many of them had the opportunities to participate in dual enrollment activities. And I think right. that is an opportunity for the future to create more opportunities for students to get exposure to higher education, to be on a community college campus. I come from a school district that actually had a middle college high school on a community college campus where our students were getting the experience of, while being in high school, actually achieving and completing college credits. And I think that we should double down mm-hmm. on dual enrollment efforts. I think we should continue to provide support to our students. I think just as our students struggle to get through K-12 schools, that they often struggle to get through community colleges and higher education. And we're seeing more hungry students who are struggling with the rising cost of education. I think that our opportunity is to really lead our systems in a way that's really integrated and right. seamless, to see the same group of students through from early education through K-12 through higher education. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that you're doing a lot of work in these areas. I think it's a great opportunity for us to partner. I think we got to step back and look at some of the places where our students first struggle, like literacy. Mm-hmm. We've got lots of students who struggle with their ability to read. And I remember hearing someone say, if you can learn to read, you can read to learn anything.
Right.
And I think that we've got to get back to basics and ensure that our students have strong literacy gains and skills. One of the things we are currently doing at the Department of Education is rolling out a literacy campaign statewide to make sure that we give support to students that they learn to read by third grade, and for our older students who need it, that they get intervention programs that will help them mm-hmm. And support their literacy goals. We're going to make a heavy, heavy focus on what we do in preschool and early education, because mm-hmm. we know that when students get access to any form of early education, they're more likely to go on to college and be successful
right.
and not drop out of school. And so mm-hmm. I think that we can, as you say, blur the lines between the K-12 system and the community college system by making sure all of our students have some of their basic needs met, and that we are creating the dual enrollment opportunities, and that our systems embrace the group of youth and work together to support them from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. So your predecessor, former superintendent of public instruction, did a tremendous amount of work on highlighting career education. There was the Career Pathways Trust that was established. There was a lot of work that happened and continues to happen between high schools and community colleges to promote and support pathways to career education. What are your thoughts about how we continue to expand on that work? And are there things that you think that we should be doing more of today between the two systems?
I'm excited that over the course of the last several years, people have really embraced this conversation of college and career.
Right.
And to me, that just means that we help young people find their way through pathways. I think one of the best ways to do that is through internship opportunities, giving young people a
chance. Paid internships.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a choice that, you know, for many students who want to end up in certain science careers, one of the biggest barriers for them is that they can't afford to do an internship.
Right.
I actually sponsored a piece of legislation that would provide a paid internship to students in college who are in allied science and health sciences, because I believe that we cannot allow the lack of income to become a barrier to preparing our students to be the workforce of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have tremendous opportunities around science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Our students understand coding naturally, but we've got to give them more opportunities. You know, they say there'll be 1.5 million jobs in technology, but only half the applicants for those jobs unless we change how we prepare our students. And that means more computer science classes, more technology. This year, the California Department of Education is sponsoring a bill that would create a pathway to recruiting more science and technology teachers so that we can expand the number of students who get access to science. I think there are tremendous opportunities in life science and biotech.
Right.
And we've got to continue to create these pathways for our students. The internship opportunity, the chance to do something in the apprenticeship training programs. We know there are many, many things that our students will benefit from if they just get exposure to it.
Right.
And I think it helps students to see where they want to go when they can experience what that's like. I love experiential learning.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we give students a chance to learn science by working in their environment and, you know, look at the ecology of creeks and waterways in their community, we make the learning interesting and engaging, but we give them a hands-on experience that will inform where they go. I want to see young people running around with, you know, lab coats on all the time, dreaming about being scientists. Because even if they don't become a scientist, they become aware of what is available to them and the opportunities that are available to them. And when we bring students to our campuses and put these lab coats on them, we see the excitement as they're dreaming about the possibility.
Right.
And I think that there's so much we can do through the Pathways program to expand what's been done and to really ensure that we have a rigorous approach to college and career pathways in California.
Well, that sounds right in line with what we're talking about in our system as well. So that's good news. Although, I have to say, I don't know if you'd want to see any of the creeks in my old neighborhood, but you're welcome to come by.
I want to bring some students by because given what's happening with climate change, you know, I believe students are they're the stewards for the environment, and they're going to help us address things like sea level rise. And so I'm sorry that the creeks are that way in your community. I think it's an opportunity for us to talk about restoration and what we do in our communities. And, you know, why not start in the places that have been most negatively impacted by industry and, you know, the communities that probably at the same time have the highest rates of asthma, where people have been impacted by industry. Why not start there? And as you said earlier, give our students paid opportunities to make their communities better.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wins. They're learning, they're earning, and we're making our communities better, and we're creating a workforce of tomorrow that's going to take care of all of us.
Right. So one of the things that we've been focused on a lot here in the community colleges is facing the challenge of the current administration in D.C. opening up the doors to more for-profit entities. Are there ways that you think we can do a better job of communicating with K-12 and high school counselors, with parents, and with the community to help them better understand the choices that are being marketed to them? Because we have seen, with the closure of several for-profits, many students who received promises of great careers, and what they got was a closure of their school and a lot of debt with no degree. Is there anything that we can do better, do you think, in helping to communicate with counselors, with parents, and with students themselves about the great opportunities there are in the California community colleges?
This is a tough area. You know, it's hard to compete with these for-profit entities that have, you know, just really very, very what looks like appealing marketing, and they're doing commercials and they've got jingles. And sometimes it's hard to compete with that. But at the end of the day, you know, community colleges are really anchors for success in our community. And I think we just have to figure out a way to make that more available to students in terms of what they know, to students and families, so they understand the assets that we already have in our community college system. To me, that means expanding programs and the opportunity for students to be on our community college campuses. I think it means more opportunities for staff to come to our high schools and our middle schools, to our adult schools, to make sure our parents understand that there are programs for their children and for the adults.
Right.
And I think the community colleges play an important role in helping those who are underemployed and want to explore new career opportunities as adults. And so we won't have the same marketing budget that the for-profit schools have, but the community colleges have heart and they have connection to community. And I think if we stick to our roots but double down on that and making sure that people understand that these assets already exist, that you don't have to go take out a bunch of loans that are going to result in a high amount of debt for you to repay, that it's available to you. One simple thing might just be having community college staff come to our high schools and work with our school counselors on preparation for financial aid applications, just so that students understand how much they qualify for,
right,
how much financial aid is available to them, that they don't have to go and apply for these loans that they're going to have to repay later. I think to your point earlier, if we do more to integrate what we do in the K-12 space and what we do in community colleges, we can literally embrace our students in ways that protect them and shield them from those who would exploit them for money, and will give them an easier path to just a world-class community college system that is here to help them and to guide them.
Absolutely, and we're also reminding parents these days that you don't have to buy your way into the California community colleges to get a great education. So,
well said.
We welcome the top 100% of students.
That's great.
So let's shift gears a little bit. You know, the governor is an avid listener to this podcast, and the governor has proposed a data system, intersegmental data system, that would bring together more data, more information across all the systems of education, with the intent of being able to better serve students throughout their educational journey. What are your views about what we need to do with an intersegmental data system, and what do you see are the challenges and opportunities for the K-12 system in this space?
You know, this is a tremendous opportunity for all of us in the state. People talk all the time about a longitudinal data system from birth through adulthood, and I think that's really critical. We need to be able to support our students at every step of the journey. And I think about many of our schools that struggle just to keep up with where our students are. Mm-hmm. And how do you keep up with students' needs if you can't keep up with where they are? And right now we have data systems that for whatever reason just don't speak to each other. You know, we look a lot at chronic absenteeism in our schools, and we want to make sure that our kids are in school every day unless they're not well, because we know that's important to closing the achievement gap. Sometimes the issue is just that one data system doesn't speak to another data system as families move in between communities. And so this longitudinal data system presents a real opportunity for us to really strengthen how we collect and manage data and then use it to guide where we go for students, use it to guide what programs we create for students. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, this is an ever-changing sector, and our students and families are no different. Right. They're going to tell us what they want more of and what they want less of. And most likely, they're going to say we want more engaging classes. They're going to want to say we want more experiential learning. They're going to say we want things that help us be able to earn more and sooner. And we've got to have data that really points to where it is that, you know, student needs are. And we should know, our data system should let us know what students are thinking about for career opportunities, so that we know how many seats to create, you know, in our community colleges and in our other institutions of higher education. We should really be able to have that data and then provide data to students about where the trends are, where the job opportunities are, where the job growth is. I think this is a tremendous asset for us. I think it is going to be a very heavy undertaking, because data management for the state of California has been difficult across every single sector. We spend more for data systems and management across sectors like health, human services, education, higher education, and all of our systems are like silos that struggle. And we struggle just to manage the data within each of these silos. Mm-hmm. And so now we're faced with an opportunity to create an integrated data system, but it really is a challenge for us to do what has not been done before. I submit that we can do it because, look, we have Silicon Valley in the state. We're a state of innovation. If nothing else, we have students whose understanding of systems and coding and technology and social media suggests that if we can't get it done, perhaps we should be engaging our students in this front and to see how we can create these cohesive systems that show us where we need to focus on the education for our students in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of social media, do you have your own Twitter handle, Instagram account, anything that you want listeners to be following you on?
At Tony Thurman, and we do have several ways that people can get involved with us at the Department of Education. The California Department of Education has a Facebook page.
Right.
We tweet at that handle as well. We welcome any form of input from our constituents. We've adopted the philosophy that our job is to serve school districts and to serve those students. There are 1,000 districts in the state, and the Department of Education doesn't have any direct control over them.
Right.
So we've adopted as our mission that if we can do a good job of serving our districts who serve the students, that's where we can provide the best value add to helping in California. And we welcome people getting involved with us in any way. In just 4 months, we've held 4 or 5 statewide forums on various topics like, what's the best way to assess college success in our students? There's all kind of debate right now on the SAT and what's its impact. And, you know, we're saying we want to look at data and research that points to better ways to measure college success for our students. And so we engage in these forums where people can be in the room or they can engage with us through WebEx or they can be on a phone line. And so for anyone on the podcast, we welcome your input at any time at the California Department of Education.
All right. Well, we may have you back at some point in time to talk about the SAT and the ACT.
It'd be an honor.
One of our favorite topics to rail about. So in closing, I want to give you a chance. You've been in the office now for a little more than 100 days or so. What are some of the things and some of the areas that you think you're going to be spending your most time focused on? And is there anything that you want our listeners to know about their K-12 schools in California?
You know, the pace has been fast and furious. In 4 months, there have been 3 strikes. You know, we've helped to mediate at least one of them directly. We've offered support in the other 2. We've provided training to school districts on how to deal with disasters. Sadly, what we're finding is that dealing with disasters in the education world is sort of the new normal.
Right.
There have been more fires and floods. And so we're spending our time training districts on how to prepare for a likelihood of disaster and then what to do after these disasters take place. We've named over 12 transition work groups. Give us a chance to focus on what are the key areas in education where we need to make improvement. These groups run the range of topics from closing the achievement gap to expanding early education to how we support special education. So we're really engaging Californians who want to be a part of the conversation about how we improve education in the state. We've sponsored 12 bills already in the legislature that we think can help to improve education more. You know, this ranges from things like more professional development to creating what we call community schools, which is a way to bring more mental health programs to our schools, more social services to address kids who have socioeconomic challenges in our state. We're leading a campaign to develop teacher housing as a way of helping to close the teacher shortage. We have found that many of our teachers simply are being priced out of the communities where they work. They can't afford to live where they work. And until we can figure out a way to comprehensively improve salaries for teachers, which I think is a critical need, we're looking at the cost of living challenges that we might be able to address, like providing teacher housing. So we're going to continue these efforts, and we invite Californians to join us. We want to work closely with our community college system. We think that it's a wonderful system, and I think the K-12 system and the community college system should work continuously instead of in competition. And I think a lot of times our systems of K-12 education and higher ed are inadvertently put into the same bucket and asked to fight for the same set of resources that are limited.
Right.
And I think we have to change that narrative. You know, my top goal is to see us move from being 41st in the nation in per pupil spending to eventually being number one. They say that you show your value by what you put in your budget. I think our kids are number one, and we're going to keep working until we can get California's K-12 budget to be number one, and then look at all of our systems of education as a continuum, mm-hmm. that we care about you from early education through K-12, through higher education, and we want to support all of our students. I'm looking forward to working closely with you, Chancellor. I appreciate you being out there and fighting for California students, and we're looking forward to working closely together.
Well, we very much appreciate not only having you here, Mr. Superintendent, but also the working relationship we're developing. And certainly, if we can get California's K-12 per pupil spending number one, that will mean that our community colleges will be that much better for that effort as well. So we completely support that. It's been my pleasure to be talking with the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Mr. Tony Thurman. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Look forward to working with you and being back again.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll have you back several times. You've been listening to another edition of the California Community Colleges Chancellor's Office podcast. I've had the great pleasure of speaking with Superintendent of Public Instruction, Mr. Tony Thurman. Thanks to everyone who's listening in, and we will be back to you soon.
Be sure to join us for the next California Community Colleges podcast. This has been a California Community Colleges presentation.